Finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Hi, 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 and welcome to Shift Talking. I, as always, am Davina Hain, your mental health coach and professional friend here to help you build a life that is unfuckwithable. Today, we are talking shift about whether we are really healing or just performing wellness. This week's guest is Dr. Bruce Schalmer, who is a lifetime therapist and specializes in working with couples. And we got to go into all sorts of different topics like rigid therapeutic models, collaborative modalities, the sacredness of human connection, and this whole idea that not all therapists are judgmental and out of touch, right? And what really came through in this conversation that we had more than anything is that just because it looks better doesn't mean it feels better, doesn't mean it actually is better. And throughout our conversation that you'll hear on Thursday, what Dr. Schalmer and I talk about is the fact that when we are doing this work, there's certain things that we do that unintentionally trick us, that give us the impression that I'm quote unquote healed or that I'm more progressed than this. And then we end up disappointed. We end up feeling like we aren't living up to this potential, like this is just harder than it has to be, like we just aren't maybe even capable of change. So that's really what I want to go into today. If you are listening to this, you also know that there are two episodes today, two on Thursday, and we're just going to have a double up week and then we'll be able to go back on track. So last week's, you'll have to kind of switch every other if you want to hear the solo, the Shift RX, and then the guest interview of Lindsay Paoli from before. You'll have to kind of skip every other listening if that's something that you want to do, or just listen to both solos, both Shift RXs, and then choose which guest you want to listen to first. So that's just the disclaimer for today. This topic of whether I'm actually healing or whether it just looks cute is something that I think is so important for us to talk about because we can fall into these traps so easily. In the beginning, things will feel like they're coming more easily. We get kind of these full chest aha moments that I'm capable of this. I can pull this off. Our relationship is going to last. And while none of that is necessarily inaccurate, what we fail to recognize oftentimes is that this is a progression thing. This is a progressive change, progressive project, progress, right? All of it. And if we get too bogged down by each time we make a mistake, we won't be able to continue. And if we trick ourselves into thinking that it will always be this easy, we will quit quite quickly. Say that 10 times fast. Good God. So there's really that part. So I want to really hone in on that, really focus on that, because when we're going into this work and really trying to benefit ourselves to become these transitional characters, to rewrite patterns and heal wounds, we are going to think just feeling better and having maybe the motivation to do things a bit differently will ultimately mean that that is progress in and of itself. And that's like where my growth ends. What actually counts as progress, right, is just each time I do something any better than I've done it before. And by better, I don't just mean successful in it. What I mean is that you experienced it with a little bit more ease than you had prior. When I talked in last episode, episode 31, about how I'm building this fortitude over time to believe in myself and, you know, really, really feel confident in labeling myself, identifying myself as a coach, describing myself as a coach, there is that part that I needed to dig in deeper to be able to find within me. And it's really just that part of the progress, right? It's what actually counts is that there's this ease now that comes when I say coach. I'm not just like inside of me about it. It's instead that it's feeling more natural, which means I'm doing the work. And that work is working. So when we're talking about what counts as progress, that's really my kind of my only kind of rubric that I judge this on is whether it feels like it's happening more naturally, whether I'm getting better at this with more ease, and it's actually getting me closer to where I want to go. I was about to say whether it's benefiting me, and that's another part that we need to talk about, because sometimes it won't feel like it's benefiting you in the moment. It really won't. It will feel like it's making everything worse. And I need you to remember that when we are breaking down these systems, when we are really attempting to change a lot and rebuild, we have to get it down to the studs. We have to be willing to destroy some of it so it can be rebuilt better. And oftentimes we forget about that. We get caught up in somebody else's end story. We get caught up in somebody else's progress, and we see where they're at now. And we forget that they lived each and every minute of every day doing this work in order to get to that point, right? Like, I talk a lot about my marriage with my husband and where we're at 4 years in, and we lived every minute of every day of those last 4 years. Hard, easy, and different. And that's how we are able to say, okay, yes, this was 4 years ago and this is where we are now. It took so much effort, and there were so many times that we weren't sure. And that's okay. There were times that doing the work made things harder in the short term and in the long term benefited us. So just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good. It's more so, am I getting myself down this path closer to this version that I want to be, that will engage in life with the least regret that I can imagine? And is that feeling more easy? Is that coming more naturally to me? And that's the identifier I really want you to really stick to. We gaslight ourselves by over-intellectualizing growth. I used to think, I was just finishing up a podcast that I was a guest on. It's called The Relationship Circle. And I had shared that I used to trick myself into believing that I was emotionally intelligent because I knew how to talk about emotions in an intelligent way. I was aware of what I should be feeling, and maybe even like what I was feeling, what my body was indicating I was feeling, and I wasn't letting myself feel it. So this over-intellectualizing is what's going to give us this illusion, this delusion of growth, when in reality, I'm just talking a lot about what it would be like to grow. I'm not actually growing. That is a really hard pill to swallow. That is a hard thing to recognize. And just because we're good at talking about it and we can imagine what it might feel like to go through this does not mean that we are emotionally intelligent. And so we have to be able to recognize whether we are performing wellness or actually embodying it. The vast majority of people you are watching on social media are performing it, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Because unless they're showing you the hard shit, the days that they're not on their game, the days that they're not feeling good, the days that their marriage is just absolutely feeling like it's destroyed, they are giving you the highlight reel, and you are comparing your worst days to their best days. And if you are the one posting those things, you are perpetuating that narrative. You are gaslighting yourself into thinking that this is the only part of your life that's worth sharing. You are gaslighting yourself into thinking that this is how you should be feeling all the time, or at least more often than not. And while I want that for you, it comes at a cost. It comes with time. It comes with the blood, sweat, and tears that it does to build these muscles. And there's some people who go to the gym and just take cute photos at the gym because they want people to think that they're at the gym and it feels good that they're posting this and they can get this affirmation, right? This confirmation that they're going to the gym. And then there's other people who are actually working out at the gym or working out anywhere else. And then maybe they take a photo and share it, and maybe not, but it's not performative. And that is how we know whether we are lying to ourselves or not. You know, right? Right? Like, you know when you are doing things to the best of your capacity, right? So if you don't feel better, you aren't getting better. Even if doing the work feels really gross, are you feeling more proud of yourself for doing it? Even if that conversation ended up in a conflict, are you still proud of yourself for the way that you navigated it? For the fact that you even brought it up at all, that you were willing to bring it up at all? That is how we know that there's progress. That is true wellness. That is truly doing the work. I oftentimes get asked, how will I know that this is done, right? Like, how long is this going to take me to be healed, right? Like, how long until I'm fixed? And that is also one of the biggest misconceptions. And if there's anyone, any provider who is telling you that by doing the work with them, that you will be done, that you will not feel this way ever again, that this is, you know, you will rid yourself of this suffering, they are trying to sell something to you, and they're doing a good job if you're believing it. The idea that we will ever be done is absurd. Absurd. As long as the cells in your body are changing and aging, we need to be changing and aging, evolving, maturing. So while there are certain parts of us that may not need more healing at some point, we are never fully healed. We're never done. Life is constantly throwing new and different challenges at us. And the day that we lead a completely neutral life where things don't come up that we have to navigate is probably when we're dead. What removing these benchmarks allows for is to have more intuitive, honest experiences. I want to give an example of these expectations, okay? When my husband and I were going to therapy, I wanted things to feel easier, faster. I thought it was taking too long for us to experience the benefits of the work. And there can be an argument about whether it was the right therapist, the right methodology, the right approach, what we were doing in between, whatever. All I know, though, now in retrospect, is that my expectations for how long that should have taken and what progress we should have had by then was completely off base. I didn't want to sit in this shit. I just wanted things to be better because I'd prolonged doing the work for so long that then, instead of it just being a normal play, it felt like a Hail Mary. And that's the worst time to be impatient. It's not going to work. So if we can lead with more intuitive experiences, expectations, then we will remind ourselves that progress is going to take time and we cannot fake it. I'm not saying to not think that we're capable of this. Stay optimistic, stay hopeful and realistic. As you do this work, you will find yourself realizing that you are safer with some than you are with others. What I started noticing was I almost felt safer to share things to clients than I did to friends. Certain friends. And not that I'm turning my clients into friends or oversharing or turning my clients into my provider. What I mean by that is that I have very honest, very raw conversations with my clients, and I share raw, intimate details of my life because that makes sense to me in the way that I'm doing the work, right? And when I realized that I could have a more meaningful conversation about my experiences in life with my clients than I could with certain friends, that's what told me that it's not safe anymore. That's also what told me that I was doing the work right. I wasn't viewing these friends poorly. I wasn't viewing them in any way that I was better than them or above them or doing any better than them. It was instead that, okay, something's shifting here. And we're growing apart here. We're distancing. And it gave me more opportunity to lean into those friendships and tell them where I'm needing more and different and some evolution. And also for me to not do that if I didn't feel like it was right. That is what will typically tell you that you're doing the work well, is when you start feeling a bit uncomfortable in environments that you used to find refuge in. And I'm not telling you that in order to do this work that you have to distance from people that you love and sever those relationships. Absolutely not. I really fucking hope that you don't. And if you are craving evolution, you're going to want people to evolve alongside you. And some people just don't want to. Some people will adamantly refuse. And some, even more, will villainize you for it. And if you are faking it, if you are faking doing the work, if you're doing the surface level stuff of setting boundaries, but only sometimes and only doing these things when it really like feels fine and easy, then you will end up with severed friendships that didn't need to end. You will end up with unhappiness that you didn't have to experience. And you will end up with time delays of the progress that you were trying to rush. It will take you longer and you will suffer more along the line. That doesn't seem like the path of least regret to me. I'm sharing this because we need somebody who conducts the work and who does the work to share this very real experience that comes through. That's not Instagram all cute and perfect. What we oftentimes see as well are people who are faking it and kind of don't realize it, right? We're putting Band-Aids on bullet wounds because they feel easier, and we are likely living within some level of people-pleasing mentality, right? That like I'm getting some little bit better from my partner than I was before, and so now it's not so bad, right? Like now, okay, fine, I'll eat shit again when it comes to this or that, right? It's okay, fine. I'm not suggesting that you fight about everything all day, every day. Still, like, pick your battles, right? And so long as you have a plan for how you're going to address this and view it differently, then you're not faking anything. You're not eating any shit. You are being mindful and tactical about this, right? The other thing is that in order to actually succeed in doing this work, you have to live and breathe it. You have to embody it. And what I mean by that is we kind of replace our thought processes with these topics and themes as often as possible. So when you wake up and you're wondering what the day looks like, you also check in with yourself about how you are going to navigate the day, what kind of perspective you plan to take on the day, right? With these things have to stay so present of mind. So that when we slip into autopilot, not if, when we do, we can pull ourselves out of it so much faster and we can expedite our growth. I am not here to glamorize rushing the process by any means. And there are faster ways to achieve what it is that we're trying to achieve if we stay mindful and if that is front of mind, top of mind. If lying to yourself is no longer an option. If disappointing yourself is no longer an option. And I'm not saying no longer an option like it's an all or nothing thing. It's an 80-20, 70-30. C's get fucking degrees, okay? And that's the mentality. That 70% of my time, I will be mindful of myself. I will consider what I'm doing. When I'm pissed off in traffic, I will do my best to kind of bring myself right back in. And remind myself of what work I'm doing, lean into some level of fucking gratitude that if there's traffic from an accident, that you're not the one in that accident, right? It's constantly shifting and pivoting our perspectives, our perceptions, and we switch from being a thermometer and go into more of a thermostat. I heard that recently and it made so much sense to me. And I also am curious how other people conceptualize this because I've heard it a couple different ways. The way that I conceptualize it is that I'm no longer only caring about my temperature or just one other person's. I'm now looking to assess the environment that I'm in. That if I walk in to someone else's energy, someone else's, you know, area, and it's a bit colder, I get to decide whether I warm it up or whether I disengage. And I go to check the temperature of a different room. It's about reading the room, becoming not only individually self-aware, right? But externally self-aware of my environment, of my experiences. And it's only if we can keep this mostly front of mind for most of the time that we can do this work and we won't ever worry about whether we are faking it because we know as a guarantee that we're not. There are times as you do this work that you will feel like an absolute fucking loser. You will. Because you will do so well for so long, and then something will happen that overwhelms your ability to cope because you didn't realize that you went onto autopilot because it was just that easy to slip back into it, even after you've been mindful for so long. And you will, and it'll go poorly, and you'll feel like shit, and then you start back over again. So long as once that happens, you don't just use that as an opportunity to tell yourself that you're not good enough, that you're never going to get to this point, that you suck, that you're inherently broken, that you're unworthy, that you're a victim, you will be able to move through this really well. As long as you don't do that. As long as you can reset and view yourself with curiosity and objectivity. And you do your S, your self-awareness, right? We go through the shift framework starting with our S. You can dig in deep to determine what it is that you were looking to achieve, what happened instead, what you typically do in those moments, and what you did this time. And you stay really mindful of what that looks like. You play that tape back really, really cleanly and well, and you repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And you see objectively what went wrong and what is yours to carry about what went wrong. And then you carry that into your healing. You forgive yourself for what you did wrong, and now you know that you can pivot. I'm not telling you to give yourself a permanent get out of jail free card. What I am suggesting, though, is that you show yourself grace and forgiveness. Because when we error and we don't change anything about how we erred, that's fucked up. When we error and we modify anything for the better, in prevention of that error happening again, that is the point. That is the work. That's how you allow yourself to heal through it. That's how you allow yourself to forgive yourself, even if you don't like what you did. It can be both. And now that you know that there's a different path you can take, that's your innovation. This is your time to determine what I will do differently. The S recognizes that I didn't do differently. The H forgives myself for it and gives me some level of esteem that I can, that I'm capable of trying something new. Our innovation is what we actually try differently. Our F is once we do that enough and we have built enough evidence that I can and I'm aware and I do, I will believe that I can continue to. And ultimately, you do that enough times and this behavior transforms. This small part of you begins to transform. Notice in the shift framework, T is transformation. It's not transformed. You're not done. It's just constantly moving, right? It's constantly changing. And that's the point. What Bruce and I also talked about was these labels. And what we see happening a lot are these labels of diagnoses or personality disorders or whatever it is, especially like narcissism we're seeing everywhere, right? And I'm not going to get into that point because he and I do a pretty good job of going over it pretty thoroughly. The other part is that once we determine that we carry this label or somebody else does, it's really hard to see ourselves outside of that. And sometimes we fake doing the work, we fake our healing, because now we're just attributing all of these facets, all of these symptoms to those problems, to those labels. And then so the person who, I'll use myself as an example, right? The person who feels that they're forgetful or recognizes that they're forgetful and has trouble concentrating. Now it's, oh, that's just my ADHD, but I won't do anything differently about it. No. I'm actually currently in the process of getting myself off of Adderall because I no longer want to be dependent on a medication to help me feel normal, to help me feel like I can get things done on time or well at all. And I want to do that work. But I've also been medicated on it for nearly 2 years because I wasn't ready to do the work. I wanted this one to do it for me. And so while certain parts of my symptoms of ADHD have gotten better, the underlying root causes of like also needing routine and thriving in routine and getting my sleep on point and my diet going well and setting up habits and doing all of these kinds of things, that I wasn't doing. And now I'm ready for it. I know these last 2 years prepared me for my readiness, so I'm not going to go back and shit on myself for not being ready before. I wasn't ready, and that's okay. What I'm doing now, though, is modifying in a different way. I feel more capable. I feel like I have more room for it. I have done enough shifts to feel and know that I can do this. And also, I'm aware that if for whatever reason it doesn't quite work out the way that I want it to, I can go back to it if I need it. And the challenge with these labels is that sometimes getting a label can just be enough for me to feel seen and heard and understood, right? Sometimes that just like feels good enough. When we're talking about labels with other people, we tend to go with more negative labels. Like instead of saying that, oh, they experienced a lot of trauma, it's instead that they are a narcissist. And once you label someone with something like that, you immediately rob them and you of ever seeing this person in a different light. Let's take an example that's not as extreme as like narcissism and that kind of thing. When my husband and I were really doing the work to rebuild our marriage and rewrite our narrative, each time my husband fucked up, I had an opportunity to view him like a fuck up who's just never going to change. This alcoholic who's just going to continue in these really poor patterns. Or I could view him as somebody who is really working to better himself, to heal, to try new and different strategies, and respect the fact that he's still trying, that he's not giving up, and be appreciative of that. Please don't confuse that with not holding him accountable or enabling his behavior. Because that would have looked like when he's ready to do it, he will, and I will just be here and I won't push up against it, and I will just tolerate whatever it is because I have faith that eventually he'll be ready. That's very fucking different. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I am suggesting and what I found benefit in is viewing him as somebody who is just having a hard time, and I am actively choosing to stay close to him while he navigates through it. In the same way that when I was having my troubles with postpartum depression, with PMDD, with PCOS, with ADHD, goddamn all the acronyms, right? Alphabet soup. When I was doing these things, he was patient with me. And while he didn't necessarily suffer from my kind of shit as much as I suffered from his, it's not a contest. We both were struggling. And maybe he suffered in ways that I don't even know. He likely did, especially through my depressive episodes, especially through me not having a fucking fuse, right? I would just go from zero to everything. And our intimacy got fucked up. Our emotional intimacy got fucked up. Our connection, our friendship that was at the root of our marriage and our relationship got fucked up. And I have no doubt that I contributed to that. So if I wouldn't want him to look at me like I'm just this bitchy woman who's just withholding sex and typical mood swingy, whatever, I'm not going to view him in a way that's similar, right? Similar and opposite. For his sex, for his gender. And that's what labeling is working against us as. When people hear that my husband is an alcoholic in recovery, they immediately get an impression that he is just a really shit guy, that he did fucked up things, that he mistreated me in massive ways, right? There's so much there. And while some of that is true, he was never a bad guy. My family never saw this man drunk. They were shocked. Genuinely, wholeheartedly, utterly shocked that he had a problem with alcohol. Because we faked the healing. We faked it. I faked it for years. Years. And nobody knew what was happening behind closed doors. I was doing this work, you guys, in this field as a provider. And I, of course, was still struggling within my own shit. But according to everyone else, I was doing the work. But I wasn't. And when I was trying to, I wasn't doing a very good job at it. And it was mostly performative. So that's what I want to share with you is this part, that if you view your partner, your friend, your boss, your coworker, your mom, your dad in a shitty way, they will absolutely live up to that. Zero doubt. And the same goes for you. We can't do any of this work in any real way unless we are actually addressing the fact that we can, that we love ourselves enough to do it. And I'm not talking about going straight from like self-hatred to self-love. It's bullshit. It's cutesy. It's Instagram bullshit. What I am saying though, is going from a point of self-hatred to self-dislike, to self-tolerance, to self-neutrality and then on. That's how we get past this illusion of healed, this illusion of doing this work, this band-aid on a bullet wound, and how we actually get into the real work. Because no one, and I fucking guarantee you, you very rarely ever hear me use absolutes. I will tell you right now, no one truly changes in the long term by hating themselves enough to do it. That may be our catalyst, right? Like, I am a firm believer that sometimes in the very beginning, in order for us to get the work, we have to lead with some level of like tough love and anger toward ourselves and resentment toward ourselves and some level of guilt. And that has to only be your catalyst, and it has to stop there. If self-hatred is your catalyst to get you to do this work, as soon as you do any step differently than you did before, that is a fucking win, that is evolution, that is progress, and that's your first notch up from self-hatred to self-dislike. You have to give yourself that. Don't give yourself the, oh, well, I should have done this forever ago. You fucking didn't, period. You didn't, and that's okay. You didn't go another fucking day doing it. That's a win. Give that to yourself. Please do not fake your way into this work. It will make everything worse for you. I guarantee it. The relationships that you're here faking to save will actually be destroyed because you are not doing the work authentically. If you're going to be here, be here. And don't do it for anybody else. As you're doing this work, if you're thinking about what you'll post and how you'll say it and what you want to show people, you're faking it. If you're experiencing it for yourself first, and then saying, wow, people might benefit from this, and I'm really proud of myself, and I think it would feel really good to have other people be proud of me too. Sure, do that later. But we have to know the difference between performative wellness, performative healing, performative shifts, and the bullshit of just wanting it to look like I did. I want you to know that if you ever have any moments where you feel capable of doing this work, you are. That is your intuition talking to you before your narratives, the narratives from your family members, your fears, your regrets, your mistakes, those voices tell you not to and tell you that you can't. I guarantee you, you can rise above. But no one can do it for you, and it won't work if you fake it. It's not fake it till you make it. It's just do it until you do. Our Shift RX on Tuesday is all about how getting better doesn't always feel good and how normal that is. And so I hope you tune in. And then on Thursday will be my full interview with Dr. Bruce Chalmers. And I hope you join us for all of this. As always, this is your empowerment one shift at a time. You know where to find me. I hope and pray that you join me. Stay steady, and I will see you next time.